Eternal Rock of Ages, we want to bless your name. We want to thank you because you are the Word from the beginning. And we know that whenever you send forth your Word, you always heal and you always deliver. And we believe that today will not be an exception. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we welcome you once again. And we ask that at this moment, you will teach us, you will speak to us, you will enlighten us, and you will empower us, so that at the end of everything, your name and your name only will be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been asked to speak on my closest friend, the Holy Spirit. I came to know the Holy Spirit years ago. When I was born again, I found that each time they made the altar call, in our church, they will say, those of you who want salvation, come forward. Those of you who want sanctification, ask God for sanctification. And those of you who want the baptism in the Holy Spirit, ask for baptism in the Holy Spirit. But I never had a lecture on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I wonder what is it that is called baptism in the Holy Spirit. After some time, I became thirsty for the Holy Spirit. I wanted to know Him. I wanted to know about this baptism called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And because I wasn't hearing sermons on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I did what only was left for me to do. I began to look for books on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then I began to read about it myself. And the first sermon I ever heard on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I preached it myself after collecting some data. In the process of searching, I got rather intimate with the Holy Spirit Himself. So that by the time the baptism came, I had already become a close associate of the Holy Spirit. It's my prayer that before you leave here, you will also become His close associate. Because if you become the friend of the Holy Spirit, there is no limit to what God can do through you. I want to repeat that one. If you become closely associated with the Holy Spirit, there is no limit to what God can do through you. There was one passage that shook me seriously while I was searching. And that passage you will find in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, from verse 34, if you want to read it, you can read it all the way to verse 37, but I will jump a little. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then you jump to verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said to the angel, you know the What led to that question? The angel has said to Mary, you're going to have a son. He's going to be great. He shall be the son of the Most High God. He shall call his name Jesus, and so on and so forth. And Mary asked a very pertinent question. How can I conceive when I have no husband, when I'm not yet married? How can I conceive when there is no sexual intercourse between me and a man? How can a virgin become pregnant? And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost. How can the impossible become possible? Just two words. Holy Ghost. How can I reach my goal in spite of any obstacle that anybody can put in my way? The Holy Ghost. How can my church blossom from the church in your house, where two or three are gathered together, and become a mighty assembly that people will hear about it and say, yes, we know that God is in that church. How can it happen? The Holy Ghost. How will I be able to live a life of holiness, surrounded with so many temptations? The Holy Ghost. How can I prosper so that I never need to look at anybody for assistance when I want to do the work of God? The Holy Ghost. How can the impossible become possible? Can you give me the answer now? Good. As soon as I saw that passage in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit quickened it to my mind, I knew that if only I can become closely associated with the Holy Ghost, nothing can stand between me and what I want to do for God. And if you don't learn any other lesson throughout this period, learn that one. Make the Holy Ghost your friend, and the rest is easy. Now, I know immediately now in your mind the question will be coming, what about Jesus Christ? Are we not downgrading Jesus Christ? No, I've just told you, he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he shall do what? Glorify me. You can't glorify Jesus correctly until you become a friend of the Holy Ghost. You become the friend of the Holy Ghost. Don't worry about any other thing. Every other thing will take its proper place. Become a friend of the Holy Ghost. You will praise God the Father the way you should praise him. You will glorify the Son the way you should glorify him. You will pray the way you are supposed to pray. You will study the Word of God the way you are supposed to study the Word of God. Become a friend of the Holy Ghost. You have become a friend of the Trinity. Now, before I begin to share a little bit more with you on this, you may ask again, why must I befriend the Holy Ghost? Those of us who went to Bible schools, unfortunately I didn't go, and it's too late now to begin to go. I think the teachers will not allow me to sit still. But you learn certain things in the Bible college, they call dispensations. And I'm always afraid of big words because I've seen people twist big words before. And I would love to reduce it to something we can handle and call it regime. I'm sure we all know what regime is. We have had Babangida regime. Right now it is Abacha's regime. Before that one there was a regime in between regimes. And there will be other regimes after that. There have been the regime of God the Father from eternity to the day of Pentecost. That was the regime of the Father. There will be the regime of the Son. For 1,000 years, there will be absolute peace, because the Prince of Peace will be on the chair. That will be the regime of God his Son. That time is yet to come. Right now, we are in the regime of the Holy Spirit. And if you love yourself, if you want to prosper in a particular regime, you must befriend the one who is in charge at that time. If anybody wants contracts now, I mean the biggest contract available, all you need to do is befriend who? Abacha. Simple as that. If you are a friend of Babangida, a well-known friend of Babangida, and you now go to Abacha and you say you want contract, you are likely to get detention. So we need to know how to move with regimes. The one who is on the chair among the Trinity concerning the affairs of men as of now is the Holy Spirit. This is the regime of the Holy Spirit. Anyone who wants to succeed at this time, if he loves himself, must befriend the Holy Spirit. I will take you into the Word of God and show you just a few things, since, as you know by now, I don't know how to preach long. So we might be done in the next 15 or 20 minutes. So get ready and get what we will call a kind of rapid result. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, we find the Holy Spirit in operation, at least as far as we are concerned. His first action is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Looking at that passage, there are several things we can bring to your attention, but I just want to highlight a few. The first thing we discover is that whenever the Holy Spirit is in operation, God will always speak. As the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters, God spoke. Meaning what? Any one of us who wants to hear from God must befriend the Holy Spirit. Once you get friendly with Him, once you know how to move Him, as it were, and I will explain that why in a moment, you will constantly hear from God. And believe me honestly, any Pentecostal minister who is not hearing from God has not even started the journey. Because if you hear from Him, the job is easy. He tells you what to do and what not to do. Then you don't waste your time. You don't waste your effort. If I say, for example, I want to go to Shagamu to conduct a crusade, and I say, Daddy, shall I go? And he said, sit down, don't go. Then I know that if I go, I will be wasting my time. But many of us just, where shall we go and conduct crusade? Oh, let's go to Shagamu. And then we pack our load and we go to Shagamu. And we get there and they stone us. And then we come back and we say, we are suffering for Jesus. And God will say, I didn't send you. I didn't send you. Oh, I know God said, preach the gospel to all nations. I'm going to build a church in this particular village. And then you go there and you get land and you begin to look for funds. And there's no fund, and then you begin to sell your property. At the end of the day, when you are hungry and there's nothing more you can do, then you begin to look for men of God and say, please, brethren, I know you love God, give me some money. I always say, if it is God who sends you, He will provide. Can you say amen to that? God will always provide for whatever plan that is his own plan. If the plan is not his own, then you get into trouble. Whereas if you had asked him before you go, should I go? And he says, yes. You'll find favors that you will not be able to understand. Years ago, we wanted to go and conduct what we used to call Congress Day in Benin. That was my plan. Benin is the place we should go now. But then, as usual, I asked Daddy, should I go? And he said, no. Don't you want a Congress? He said, I want. Okay then, where do I go? And he said, Ede. Ede. Why should I go to Ede? We have had the Congress in Elisha. We have had it in Oshogbo. We have had it in Ife. We've had it in Ibadan. If anybody in Ede wants to hear the gospel, Oshogbo is only about 5 or 6 miles away. Ife is another few miles away. Elisha, if they want to hear, they should have come. Benin, that's where I want to go. He said, go to Ede. And to Ede I went. And when I went to Ede, the chief of the place, who is an Alhaji, came to declare the meeting open. And the Alhaji said, silver and gold are fine none, but what I have I give unto you. I have land. Ask for how much you want. We have not used it yet, but the land is still waiting. At the end of the day, we ended asking for 1,200 acres. And it's there. If we had gone to Benin and they stoned us there, we would come back and say, we were suffering for Jesus. It is good to hear from God. How many of you want to hear from him today? Well, I know some of you are already hearing from him. Amen. You will also remember, at least those of us in Lagos, 2 years ago, at Afar Balewa Square, when there was a kind of misunderstanding among some of us as to who to vote for, whether we should vote for Abiola or vote for Tofa, I called a meeting of all of us who were there then. I said, brethren, I understand that you are discussing, you are disagreeing on who to vote for. Has God told you that any of them will be president? Either of them will be president. How many of you were there when I was saying that? You remember that day. I said, to start with, has God told you that there will be an election? Has he told you that if there's an election, they will allow the result of the election to stand? Has he told you which of the two he wants? I said, as for me, he hasn't told me yet. I've been asking him who is going to be the president. He hasn't answered. Which means maybe I'll be asking the wrong question. I say, I'm going to change my question and begin to ask him, will there be an election? And if there's an election, will it be allowed to stay? Later on, after we left that meeting, we came here, we were having a conference meeting of our own pastors, and I told them that, last night, Papa has spoken. He said, Abiola will win, but they won't allow him to sit on the throne. How many of you remember? That was before the election. Brethren, that is the way a child of God, who is a Pentecostal, should operate. That way, you won't get into trouble. I've told people before of my experience. On the day that there was this Muritala coup, when they killed Muritala, I was getting ready to go to the office. And I was going to ask him, because I've learned from experience that if I ask him which route to take, I won't enter into any go slow. I was living in Surulere and I was working at the University of Lagos. Lord, which route should I take? I'm ready to go now. My students are waiting for me. And he said, you are not going anywhere. Sit down. Lord, you are the one who said that he who will not walk should not eat. And I began to quote Bible to him. You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. Sit down, he said. Okay, Lord. If they fire me, I'm sure you'll provide another job.
Because at that time I didn't know that a coup had taken place. I didn't know that there was confusion already in town. I'm not listening to radio or anything. All of a sudden, I saw confusion in the school. There was a school in front of my house. Everybody coming to pick their children. And then I wonder, what's going on? And there was a lot of noise. At that time, I tuned the radio and I heard martial music. Then I knew something had happened. So I just sat down at home and I continued to enjoy myself while people were running helter-skelter. I pray that from today you begin to hear clearly from God. But then I said one thing. I said, if you know how to move him, how do we move God? It's very simple. You praise him, worship him in the spirit. It will not be long before you hear, thus says the Lord. If only we will take our worship services more seriously. Because many of us ministers are very guilty of this. That when they are singing choruses and they are praising the Almighty God, many of us are still sitting there in our office, writing letters, giving instructions. We think that the service has not started. Brethren, by the time you arrive, the service is almost over. Because the real service is the worship section. You worship him and you will see him in action. When the Spirit of God begins to move, God will speak. And then when he spoke, what happened? The Bible said there was light. Begin to associate with the Holy Spirit, you will never lack light. And what do I mean by light? By light, I mean revelation knowledge. God will begin to illuminate his word for you. The reason why many of us have been having problems with retaining our members is because when they come to be fed, they don't get any food. We go, we preach to them, and by the time we are halfway reading through the text, they know what we are going to say, how we are going to start, how we are going to end. They don't get new things. And do you know, many of the people coming to church today are highly educated. In fact, somebody was telling me the other day, he said, as soon as our pastor begins to speak, I know which of Kenneth Hagin's sermons he's going to preach. By the time he's halfway through, I know, that's the tape preached by Jerry Savile 10 years ago. Those tapes that you are hiding, that you think that you got from the cross or somewhere, that you think your members don't know about, they have listened to it 20 times. They want to hear something new. And brethren, there's only one way you can get something new from the Word of God on a daily basis. That is by associating with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit moves, there will be revelation knowledge. I've always given this example. Normally, when I want to study the Bible, I take a chapter and read the chapter through. And then I ask the Holy Spirit, of the entire chapter, which verse are we going to dwell upon today? And he will show me the verse, and then I ask him to teach me from that verse. And he will begin to teach. But one day I was reading Matthew chapter 10. I read verse 1, and then I came to verse 2. And he said to me, stop. We are going to discuss verse 2 today. And I look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 2. Let me read it to you. And you can tell me if there's anything you see there that is essential or substantial. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. How can anybody preach a sermon from that verse? Now the names of the apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and then Andrew, and James, and John. And you say, brethren, that's what we want to talk upon. And when we look at you and say, well, let us hear what he's going to say. Because when the Lord said, that's where we are going to talk today, I said, Lord, I can't see anything we can talk of here. He said, read it again. I read it again. Read it again. By the time I was reading it the third time, I began to see. The first, call Simon. If there is a first, there must be a second. If Peter is the first, then Andrew must be the second. And James the third. John the first. And immediately the question came, how come that Andrew is the second? Because Andrew is the one who first found Christ and went and told his brother Peter. So if I'm to arrange this thing, I will say the first is Andrew, the second is Peter. Then we can put James and John over there. And I said, I begin to see. What was it that demoted Andrew to number two? And then the Holy Spirit said, well, that's not even at all. Do you remember that whenever Jesus wants to go to somewhere special, he goes with three? I said, that is true. And who are the three? Peter, James, and John. Oh, I was thinking that Andrew is in number two. He's not even among the number three as time goes on. What is it that Andrew has done that has demoted him from number one to number two, and later on from number two to, we don't even know where number, which number to put in? And immediately I began to see that there is something deep here that God wants to show. And quickly I ran through my mind all I know about Andrew, and I cannot find a single mistake about Andrew. Almost all the other apostles had one problem or the other. Peter denied him. He was sinking when he was walking on water. Talk of James and John. They are called the sons of thunder. There was a time Jesus Christ said he wanted to stay in one place, and the people said, we won't allow him. When James and John heard about it, they said, shall we call down fire from heaven? I mean, you remember that. They were also the two people that their mother brought and said, Lord, when you come in your kingdom, let one sit on the right and the other sit on the left. They forgot all the others. The two sons of the same mother, they wanted to take over the government before it was established. Andrew, studied him very well. When Jesus Christ was in need, and he said, how are we going to feed these people? It was Andrew who discovered the boy with five loaves and two fishes. When some people came and they said, we want to see Jesus, it was Andrew that they met who said, come along, I will show you the way. So what is it that Andrew did that got him to be demoted? And the Lord said, he didn't do anything. Then why was he demoted? God said he wasn't demoted. He was promoted. How was he promoted? He was supposed to be number one. He came to number two. He wasn't even in number two anymore. And the Lord said, I had put him in the foundation. I hid him from the face of the people. He said, do you know, when the mother of James and John came and said, make one sit on the right and one sit on the left, I told them that the place they are asking for have been reserved. And one of the places have been reserved for Andrew. And then God began to talk to me about what it is to be in the foundation. He said, in the house, what part of the house carries the biggest burden? The foundation. What part of the house is unseen? The foundation. When there is a storm, what part of the house is blown off? The roof. If the house is burnt down, what part of the house will escape the fire? The foundation. And what did the Bible say about the foundation? It said Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and the apostles are then the foundation. And the Lord began to talk to me about those who want to be seen and those who would rather be unseen. And he said all those who want to be seen are likely to be blown off in a storm, and those who are unseen are likely to make it to heaven. And that will tell you something. All of you who want to be known as Reverend Chief, everything, so that
wherever you go, you want to be the one that must be seen. I think you better go and pray again, so that when the storm comes, you won't be the first to go. From Matthew 10, verse 2, I can write a book now. How do I get information? From the Holy Spirit. And began to teach me a lot more about humility than I thought I knew. He showed me again and again, if there's a storm in the jungle, which tree is uprooted? The tall one, the big one that says to the storm, you think you are strong, I am stronger. By the time the storm is gone, the big tree is uprooted. But the grass that is very lowly, as the wind is coming, the grass bows. It gets lower still. After the storm is gone, it goes back to its position. And it's still remaining there long, long after the storm. And the Almighty God is telling me, a revival is coming. And when revival comes, it comes here as a rushing mighty wind. And many of the tall and lofty will be blown up. And the unknown, the meek and lowly, after the revival has come, after the wind has blown, they'll be there praising the Almighty God. I hope you learn a lesson from that. When you begin to associate with the Holy Spirit, you begin to get light, revelation on it. You pick one word from the scripture, and the Lord will begin to expand it, until at the end of the day, you yourself will be wondering, where do I get this information from? And the Holy Spirit will say, from me, of course. And then, of course, as soon as the Holy Spirit moved in Genesis chapter 1, and God spoke and said, let there be light, the next thing that we found was that God separated light from darkness. Meaning what? When you begin to associate very closely with the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that will become very, very strong in your ministry will be the gift of the discerning of spirits. And many of us don't think that that is a very important gift. But it plays a very vital role in a church. In every Pentecostal church, you will find witches and wizards and all kinds of demonic people. You will find them in the choir. You will find them among the workers. You may even find them among the pastors. Ah, no, you can't find them in our church. Then your church is not Pentecostal. Because wherever the fire is burning, the moth must gather. Wherever there is the true move of God, there must of necessity be agents of the devil. If you can find Ananias and Sapphira in the first church, you will find them in your church. If your church is truly Pentecostal. As a matter of fact, by the time you say they are no longer in our church, it is another evidence that maybe you, the pastor, you are the only one left who is not demonized. And if they are there, how do I succeed when they are there? And they are not there for fun, they are not there to watch, they are there to drag you down. They are there to slow down the work of God. They are there to pour water on the fire that is burning. How do I deal with the situation? You need to know them. You need the gift of the discerning of spirits, so that you will be able to separate between light and darkness. Oh, what do I do? As soon as I know them, I drive them out? No, that will be childish. As soon as you know them, as the elders will say, once God has shown you your enemy, he can no longer kill you. In fact, many a times, when you have grown in the spirit, and I pray you will grow tremendously these 4 days in Jesus' name, when you have grown in the spirit, when you know them, you will not even let them know that you know them. Why? Because, you see, the moment they discover that you have discovered them, they will leave.
And when they leave, substitute will come. As soon as the devil knows that you have discovered his agents in your church, he will pull them out and substitute others. And then you have to spend some time with the Holy Spirit before you discover the new ones. Whereas if you know those who are already there, and you keep quiet about the situation and you just take actions to make sure that they cannot do what they want to do, you continue to enjoy yourself. In the past, I used to call them forward from time to time. All of you witches here, come out. If you don't come, we fight. And they know that when I say we fight, they know what that word means. But now I don't do it often. I still do it once in a while. Praise the Lord. I mean, I did it only last month, but that one was a special case. We were having an all-night program in Ibadan. And the God spoke to me and said, there are two categories of witches present today. Those who want to be free and those who come to fight. So he said, those who have come for trouble, don't worry about that. We will bury them soon. But those who want to be free, call them forward so we can set them free. That, nobody believed that anybody will come, because this thing was being televised live. You say witches should come forward before the camera, that everybody will see. You would think that they won't come, but they came. They came because God said they wanted to be free. That's why they came. Somehow they knew that the power of God is going to be at that meeting. If only we can get there, we will be free. So they came, and God honored them. They came, and God set them free. Now you need to know when the agents of the devil are planning an operation. You need the gifts of the discerning of spirit for that one. This is why you can't do this work without the Holy Spirit. Now many men of God who had fallen into adultery, who had fallen into fornication, because they lacked that one thing, the gift of the discerning of spirit. Because almost invariably, that agent of the devil that he's sending against you, when he comes, he's going to be like angel, directly from heaven. Her smile will be the sweetest. Her voice will be supernatural, because, you know, there are all kinds of supernatural. The divine supernatural and the devilish supernatural. And she will know how to take very good care of the pastor. Anything your wife cannot do, she will be able to do it. Whatever your wife can do, she will be able to do it even better. And before you knew it, you are gone. But if you have the gift of the discerning of spirit, the very day she comes in, God will say, watch out. The alarm will ring. If the alarm has not been ringing in you since you became a pastor, you need to pray. It may mean that you are already dead, or you are on the way to death. But if you have the gift of the discerning of spirit, God will use that to help you separate between light and darkness. Remember years ago, we were having the convention here when we were seeing that auditorium. And we were having an all-night program. And around 12 midnight, I wanted to pray for all ministers. And I said, well, brethren, it is the time now to pray for all ministers, so we can share a little bit of the anointing with them. Could you please come forward? As soon as I said that, I heard one witch on my left was speaking to another witch on the right, saying, it is time for us now to intervene. The ministers were already coming forward. And when I heard that, I said, ah, minister, stop. Let's settle this one first. I said, I heard you, those of you who are talking. Come forward quickly or there will be trouble. In those days, I wasn't as matured as I am now. I'm ready to call fire down anytime. Now, I'm a bit gentler now than before, thanks to PFN. Some people understand what I mean. And of course, they came. And one of them was saying, I didn't want to do it. It is the thing within me that was pushing me. The other one was just weeping. And God set the two of them free. I know if you met two like that in your church, you would just kill them for nothing. But all you want to do is separate between light and darkness. Amen. And it wasn't long after that, as soon as God separated light from darkness, he began to call forth animals, fish, birds. And what was void before suddenly became full. Meaning what? If you begin to associate with the Holy Spirit, those empty pews in your church will soon be overflowing with people. The void will soon become full if you begin to associate with the Holy Spirit. If you allow the Holy Spirit to take control, to have full sway, you will be amazed how quickly your church will grow. Years ago, I was praying about church growth. I've attended all kinds of conferences in Nigeria, in America, even in Korea. I know by the special grace of God, I was among the very first to go to Korea. And I went because I heard that there was a man there who had a church where they had to beg people not to come to service. Yonggi Cho is his name. He's the one man in the whole world that I heard about that they would tell the people who come to church today, please don't come next Sunday, so that those who could not come in today will be able to come next Sunday. That is after they have heard seven services. They hold seven services on Sunday. I was there, I saw it with my eyes. When the first service is about to close, they have to use a special door for those of you who are coming out. Because if you don't go through that special door, those who want to come in will trample you down. So I wanted to know, how does this man do his own? I went there, we talked, we even met, we read his books. I came back, everything they said we should do, we tried. House fellowship, this one, that one. Nothing happened. I don't know. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Every method they taught us. You do this one, you do that one, if you do this one. In fact, it came to a stage where we were practically begging people with food. Care fellowship, they call it. And we discovered that some people were, so they are distributing food in Redeem. Let's go and eat. They come, they take your food and they go. And you don't see them again. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So I had to go back to God. I said, Lord, there must be something missing. There is something missing. If we have used all human wisdom and if this thing is not working, there must be something missing. What is it, Lord? And the answer came again, the Holy Ghost. How? And then God opened my eyes to something. You have a story in Numbers chapter 11. When you get to read the whole story. Numbers chapter 11. It's an interesting story. The children of Israel complained to Moses, we want meat. We are tired of manna. All this fuke-fuke thing. We want something solid. Meat. Moses went to God and said, God, they said they want meat. God said, no problem. I give them meat to eat. They will eat so much meat for a whole month. They won't even be, they'll be fed up. Moses said, how could that be? If we slaughter all the cattle, it's not even enough for them for a day or two, not to talk of a whole month. God said, do you think my hand has waxed short? You think I can't do anything anymore? You think I'm limited like yourself? You get out of the way. They want meat, they get meat. And then the wind began to blow. What started? The wind. And of course, each time you hear the wind, that's the Holy Spirit. The wind began to blow. And everywhere the wind found any feathered bird called the quail, he picked it up and began to direct it towards the camp of the children of Israel. And quail came by the millions. There were so many that you can walk a whole day in this direction and you won't see the end of the quails. A whole day this direction, the same thing. Right, left, forward, backward. Quails all over. And the wind brought them so violently that when they landed, they cannot even run anymore. They were so tired. So quails all over. And the wind brought them so violently that when they landed, they cannot even run anymore. They were so tired. So all the children of Israel were doing was just going and picking them up. Picking them up. And I said, I don't understand. What has this got to do with church growth? And the Lord said to me, let the Holy Spirit blow. The people will come to church. You won't even need to go out for them. They will come. They will come. There will be so many of them that you won't have room to contain them. And I said, hey, Lord, I'm looking forward to that time when I too will be able to say to people, go home. We don't have more room. I never believed it could happen. But by the grace of God, it happened in January. We had a program in Ibadan I was referring to just now, because they shot out some people who said, hey, how can you do this to me? At least there's room for one more. They say, I'm sorry, no more room. I remember very well two of my friends who came from Lagos.
The reason we haven't got a president yet is because of you people. You are wasting God's time. You are delaying his program. Because he wants to put a man there who will do his will. And the people who can put him there are you. And you are wasting time. You may not understand what I am saying. You may think that I am saying that you are not getting involved in politics. No. You can get involved as you like. Thieves will still vote for thieves. I didn't hear your amen to that. What God is asking you to do is win souls. Plant churches. Do a mighty work for God. Get everybody born again, then you won't have to even worry yourself about politics. Whoever wants to be governor will have to come and see you. That is the truth of the matter. If you will do what God wants you to do, if you will win your town for Christ, anybody who wants to win election into the local council must befriend you. And then you will tell him, you want to be chairman of a local council, he said yes. Will you do what I tell you when you get there? He says yes. You say, if you don't do it, oh, I'm the one praying you in, I will pray you out. And then when you get to church, you won't even announce all the pulpit who to vote for. You just say, brethren, shall we pray for brother so-and-so, and brother so-and-so, and brother so-and-so. And the people you pray for, when people see them on the posters, they will know that if you pray for them, it is because you want them in. Anyway, don't let me go into that one. Hallelujah. Now, not only does God want you to hear from him, if you go to Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 10, Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 10, you will see again the wind blowing. You will see the Holy Spirit again moving. You will see the story of a valley full of dry bones. And God took a man there and placed him in the valley and asked him, son of man, can these bones live? What does that one mean? When you begin to associate very closely with the Holy Spirit, you will not only be hearing from God, you will be discussing with God. And there's a lot of difference between the two. Hearing from God and discussing with God. Anybody can hear from God.
few discuss with him. Very few become intimate with him as to begin to, and for God begin to ask you, my son, what do you think we should do in this situation? My son, there's a certain amount of rain that I want to fall this year. Will you want some of them in August? Or do you want August to be dry so that your convention will not be disturbed? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Not many. I've told my people the other day, I said, I was talking to them about the anniversary of the Holy Ghost service, which we normally hold in March. I was fellowshipping with the Almighty God. We've been having a nice time discussing certain things which might not be relevant to you. When all of a sudden he said to me, son, what do you want for your birthday? How I pray that all of you will become so intimate with him, he will begin to ask you that kind of question. I'm sure if God asks you, what do you want for your birthday, some of you will say, Mercedes 500. I know what some of you will talk about. Some of you will say, give me a jet, because you know that he can supply anything. What do you want for your birthday? I was shocked, because up to that day, I never paid attention to birthdays. I used to think that the real birthday is the one when you were born again, which is correct. But at the same time, the day you were born is also important, because the Bible says, teach us to number our days, that may apply our hearts to wisdom. What do you want for your birthday? I said, birthday? I've even forgotten. And then I suddenly realized that my birthday was some few days ahead. I wasn't ready for the question, so I was taken aback for a while. But after some time, I recovered. I said, well, if you want me to ask for something for my birthday, I want a miracle for every member of my church. Every one of them to have at least one miracle. And he said, what else do you want? I said, that's all. Are you sure? I said, that's all. And then he said, in that case, call them together. Let them meet with me for 1 week. And at the end of the 1 week, ask them if there's anyone who has not received a miracle. And those of us who were there in 1986 when this thing happened, that 1 week is a week we can never, never forget. Because the power of God was so present that for programs that will begin at 6 p.m. in the evening, people were already in the church by 8 a.m. because they wanted to sit near the front where the miracle will happen. I remember one doctor who closed very early, came to the church by 4 o'clock, and he couldn't find a seat. When you begin to associate with the Holy Spirit, you begin to discuss with him. And that's wonderful. Because you can discuss anything. You can then be able to discuss with him your weaknesses, your problems, your feelings, areas of problems. There's a difference between discussing and praying. Praying is maybe asking for assistance. Discussing is saying, God, this is me. What am I going to do now? I have tried to do this, I have failed. I've tried this one, it didn't work. This is me. What do I do? And if you get to that stage where you can discuss, he will then begin to tell you, this is the solution to this one, this is how to handle this one, this is the way to go in this space, and so on and so forth. So, when the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life, you begin to discuss. And not only that, you will then begin to prophesy accurately. Because many of us just prophesy by faith. You just look at the people and say, what do they want to hear now? Well, since they are looking hungry, let me prophesy that there be plenty of food. Thus says the Lord, food shall be plenty. And they all say, amen. And if there's no food after that one, nobody will come back and say, oh God, I thought you said food will be plenty. And many of us, when we look the sky and we see that there are some cloud there, we say, thus says the Lord, it shall rain. And somebody said it shall rain in June. If it doesn't rain in June, when else is it supposed to rain?
But when you begin to discuss with the Almighty God, you begin to prophesy accurately. Because God said to Ezekiel, prophesy. Thou son of man, prophesy. If God is the one who asks you to speak, then you know whatever you say will come to pass. And then, when the Spirit of God begins to move, like we have learned earlier on, the impossible will then become possible. Because what was it that God asked the Son of Man to prophesy? Prophesy to dry bones that they will live. When you begin to associate with the Holy Spirit very closely, you will be able to prophesy life to your church. You'll be able to say, church, you are going to double before the end of the year. And it will come to pass if you have the backing of the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to prophesy life to your workers. Workers, you shall be revived. And it will happen. And of course, you'll be able to prophesy death to the enemies. If you want them dead, and they die, it'd be better that you don't kill them. It'd be better that you allow them to be transformed so that they can become vessels in the hand of God. If God can use Mary Magdalene, he can use any witch. All that we need to do is do a little bit of transformation. And then, when the man of God prophesied, like God asked him to prophesy, the Bible told us that there were shakings, bones joined to bones, which is something else I think I will need to mention quickly. If you begin to associate with the Holy Spirit, very soon many of your boys and your girls who are single, who are worried, sick about getting married, will be able to find partners. Correct bones will find correct bones. Some people said amen to that. It must be those who come from fairly big churches. The bigger the church, the bigger that problem is. So many girls looking for husband. And funny enough, so many boys who are afraid to marry. And they have the money, they have the job, but they don't want to pick the wrong bones. And I don't blame them. You marry the wrong fellow, hell has started for you on earth. You marry the right fellow, heaven has started. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And once you are married, you are married. Amen. Until death do you part. And you can't commit murder if you want to go to heaven. So there will be restoration when the Holy Spirit begins to move. There will be joy. There will be revival. And more importantly, when you begin to associate with the Holy Spirit, you begin to build a mighty army for the Lord. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to have his way, every member of your church can become a miracle worker. Years ago, somebody asked a pastor and said, why don't you encourage the baptism of the Holy Spirit among your congregation? He gave an answer that I pray many of you will never think of. He said, because if they get the power of the Holy Spirit, they will outrun us, the pastors. If they get the power of the Holy Spirit, they will outrun us, the pastors. When I heard that, I was amazed. Brethren, my prayer is that my children will be greater than I. That's my prayer. Ask my pastors, they will tell you. Every time I pray for them, I ask God to double my anointing and give it to them. Because, number one, if that happens, my job will become easy. I mean, I just sit down and say, they bring somebody who's been dead for 3 months and somebody comes to knock at my door. What's the problem? Sir, we want you to come and help us raise this fellow. How long has the fellow been dead? 3 months. Don't bother me. Go and ask one of my assistant pastors. Don't worry me, my friend. Come and call me if the fellow will be dead for 1 year. Or they bring somebody to the church and they say, hey, please, we want to see the GO. What's the problem? The fellow, one fellow died. When did he die? 3 days ago. Ah! And the usher will say, what is the name? They say, so. He says, fellow, get up, my friend. And the fellow gets up. I will have time to enjoy. When the ushers are raising the day, the GO will be just there spending time with the Holy Spirit. Amen? But many of you don't even want anybody to be near you at all. You kill yourself. There are some of you, you are the only one who will call the song. You are the one who will read the lesson. You are the one who will pray. You are the one who will take the offering. Because you are the only one who knows how to do it. How can God multiply you if that happens? But when you ask the Almighty God to empower your workers, and each one becomes as fiery as you, know what will happen? All of a sudden there will be an explosion. It is true that when they have power like that, they become restless. And if you are wise, you won't hold them down. Because as soon as they get power, they are tired of sitting down and hear you preach every day. They know your sermon. The one they have already learned, they want to go and teach others. So, as soon as they get empowered, pick them and throw them somewhere and say, you go and start something there. But if they go, they will make mistakes. Let them make mistakes. God will correct them. I say, God will correct them. And everybody who walks today, at one time or the other, stood up to try to walk, and the first 2 steps he took, what did he do after that? He fell. And then he got up, and he tried again, and he fell, and he got up, and very soon, he's not only walking, he's running. There's no teacher like the experience. Let them try. If you are one of those people who want to be the only one to be known, if this fellow is well known and that fellow is well known, then I won't be known anymore. I want to be Andrew. I don't want to be known. I want to be in the foundation. Let those who want to be known be known. At the time when the whole story is over, when we get to heaven, then we will know those we will know. Amen? So you need the Holy Spirit more than anyone else. Befriend Him, and every impossibility in your life will become possible. So I want to give you some minutes now to talk with Him and say, Holy Spirit, let's be friends. And my advice to you is, when you want to talk to Him, talk His language, because He prefers that language. Shall we stand? Just talk to the Holy Spirit and say, I would love to be your friend, you know. Let's be friends. Let me know you more. Let me know you more. So we can relate better. Let's talk to the Holy Spirit now.
In heaven we ask Almighty God that the word that's come forth will stay in us. We'll not be only hearers and doers. We will also divide these words among our brethren. Satan, I forbid you from stealing the word of God from any of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for this wonderful teaching.
The method of directing the prayer. But eventually we should pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. So in the case of Holy Ghost, when I want to talk to Him, it disturbs me that it shows that I'm putting the Father aside. So when I want to say Holy Ghost in Jesus' name, my mind will tell me that I should tell the Father in Jesus' name, that is not the Holy Ghost, that is the Holy Ghost I have to come. So I don't want this point to be neglected.
Thank you very much. We are to pray to the Father in the name of the Son through the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Our sister is saying, how then do I begin to talk to the Holy Spirit? I said just now, when I was about to close, I said, whenever you want to talk to the Holy Spirit, speak His language. Whenever you want to talk to the Holy Spirit, just begin to speak in tongues. That's all. When you are speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit will pick up whatever is relevant to Him there. What has to be sent to the Father will be sent to the Father. What has to be passed through the Son will be passed through the Son. You just pray in tongues. I hope you understand. Good.
Of God is different from the way of man. And that is very true of the Holy Spirit. We as leaders, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it's for our consumption and consumption of our followers. Many a times they don't see it. They don't understand it. How do we solve this problem of people not sharing visions with the spiritual leader when the Holy Spirit speaks?
You mean when the Holy Spirit shows you something?
And it sounds illogical to the people, the followers.
Oh, okay. I understand what you are saying. Many a times when you receive a vision from the Lord, at times it's too big for your followers to believe. And therefore, many a times they just say amen. And for the fun of saying amen. How do we solve the problem? It's not you who will solve the problem, it's the Almighty God. When you said, thus says the Lord today, and it comes to pass, and you say, thus says the Lord tomorrow, and it comes to pass, no matter how improbable it appears, when you say, thus says the Lord the third time, they will pay attention to you. Yes. I thought there was somebody else who was...
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are some special cases whereby people will not like to follow when you are ministering and you mention what the Holy Spirit says to you. What should you also do at that time? For instance, I want to make an example. A brother, the Spirit of God made me to know that this brother had been warning him about paying the payment of tithe. I saw this brother one day that one of his legs was amputated. And I told this brother, see what I say about you, correct your life, even a worker in the church. And he did not. Later on, just about 2 weeks ago now, one of his daughter died. Which means that one of his legs that is amputated is that daughter that died. But what can a person do in another case like that to help such a person?
It's not, you can't force people to do the will of God. Your own is to deliver the message as you have received it. This is what God had told me. And as soon as you said that one, it's up to the fellow either to believe the prophet of God and prosper, or to disbelieve the prophet of God and go the other way. You tell them the truth as you have received it from God, and you leave the rest to God. Many a times God will allow that kind of situation to happen so that in future the people will beware. They will know when you speak, you are talking from God.
In the area of witches and wizards, when you design them in your local church, and then do you pray that they should leave the church or God should send fire on them? Which one is more appropriate?
I thought you were here when I was giving the lecture. I said when I was younger I would ask God to destroy them. But now I just say, Father, just leave them and let them watch as I enjoy myself. Because David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. All you need to do is once you've discerned them, take appropriate steps to render them ineffective. That's a whole lecture on its own. I mean, if they want to be delivered, you can cast out the demons out of them. If they don't want to be delivered, you can bind the demons in them. And once you bind it, if it is a snake that is inside them and you bind the snake will not be able to go out to go and kill. And so it must feed, so it will begin to feed on the container.
It won't be able to go out to excrete, so it will begin to excrete in the container. It won't be long before the fellow, the container, will become to either swell or dry up or something, and then it will be the fellow now who will call for deliverance.
Pastor, I thank God for my coming to this place today. You know, if there is any other thing we need in the church, it's the Holy Ghost. And thank God for you speaking about the Holy Ghost. But there's something that confuses me in the church. You see, sometimes we ministers, when you are ministering the power of the Holy Ghost, sometimes you prophesy and say, this is going to happen. You find out that it doesn't happen. And within you begin to think maybe you have lost the relationship you have with the Holy Ghost. For many times when you say something, the thing didn't happen. So how do we maintain that relationship so that there won't be any conflict on the way?
If you prophesy and doesn't come to pass, then you haven't heard from him. Prophecy comes from three sources. It comes from the devil, it comes from the human spirit, and it comes from the Holy Spirit. If it comes from your human spirit in particular, you say what you feel ought to happen, and nothing is going to happen. And most of the time, when it comes from the devil, it's a lie sent to confuse. When you hear from the Holy Spirit, it will always come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, his word will not go unfulfilled. So you need to relate intimately with the Holy Spirit so you'll be able to distinguish between his voice, the voice of the devil, and the voice of your own spirit.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My question has been partly answered, but I just want an addition. It's in connection with this familiar spirit. For instance, a father will bring the daughter to you that the girl is possessed with an evil spirit, that you should please help in the deliverance. And then you pray at that moment, and the child is free, delivered. Then after some time, the evil spirit comes back again. The girl will tell you that the woman who used to come and carry her to the place has brought the power back. And if you have done that once, twice, and this is keep on coming to that girl, what should you do?
Thank you very much. The Lord said that when you drive out an evil spirit, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, he goes about looking for somewhere to stay. When he can't find a place, he will come back to check whether the former home is still empty. And then, if he discovers it is empty, he will go and call all those demons he met on the way when looking for a place and say, there's accommodation here, come and join me. And the end of that fellow will be worse than the beginning. What you should do is that the moment you cast out demons, you should see to it that that fellow is filled with the Holy Spirit. If the demon returns and finds that the house is already occupied, it won't come back again.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Brother Benny Hinn has always presented himself to be a very good friend of the Holy Spirit. And I noticed that each time the miracles are about to happen, he sort of tells the music to go low, to say that the Holy Spirit is very sensitive, no noise, everything should be quiet. Does the Holy Spirit, what's the relationship, sir, between noise and the move of the Holy Spirit?
Thank you very much, sir. There's a difference between thus says the Lord and thus says Benny Hinn. With due respect, sir, because I know Benny Hinn is a man being used mightily of God, and I pray he will continue to be used mightily of God. But there is one thing about the human being, and that is that we love to put our own coloration on what God is doing. It takes a lot of grace to be able to let the Holy Spirit do his own thing without adding your own. As far as I know, Whether there is noise or there is no noise does not stop the Holy Spirit from performing at all. He can perform in absolute stillness. He can come as a rushing mighty wind. He can come as a fiery fire. He can come like lightning and thunder. And he can come as a gentle breeze. He does as he pleases. You cannot box him. You can't say this is the way he behaved yesterday, therefore this is the way he must behave tomorrow. God bless you, sir.
Praise the Lord.